Welcome to Journeys to Orthodoxy, a production of the Icon New Media Network, where Orthodox Christianity is the future of American spirituality. Journeys to Orthodoxy can be heard on the Orthodox Christian Network at www.myocn.net. I'm your host, Jacob Lee.
This week on Journeys, Father Daniel from St. Andrew's Orthodox Church, Delta, Colorado.
Welcome to Journeys to Orthodoxy. I'm your host, Jacob Lee, and today I have the privilege of sitting in the dining room of Father Daniel of St. Andrew's Orthodox Church, OCA, in Delta, Colorado. How are we doing, Father?
Pretty well, thanks be to God.
Great. And Father, it's about, what, 20 degrees outside?
I hope it's up to 20. It was 1 this morning.
So for our listeners, it's cold. There's snow. There are fields around us, and this is rural western Colorado, kind of a pioneer town of Orthodoxy.
I'd say St. Andrew's is a real outpost, yes.
And it's a lovely parish. My wife and daughter and I attended services there yesterday morning, and we're very blessed and happy to be a part of your parish family.
Thank you.
And so let's talk about, Father, your journey into the Orthodox Church.
All right.
And I'll throw in the first question here. And my first question is, Father, how did you grow up? Were you a Christian? Were you in a pagan home? Were you, I mean, what was your upbringing?
I'd say I grew up in a pious Southern Baptist home. Certainly I was raised with Bible stories and church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals through the years, read the Bible, all of those kind of things. Just, I'd say, for the time, this was in the 1950s, a very traditional and conservative Baptist home where what they had, they gave to their children, and I think did a pretty good job with it.
Great. And your parents grew up as Baptists, or were they converts to the Baptist faith? Or?
You know, to be honest, I couldn't answer that question. I just always assumed they were. They were just always there.
And where in the world did you grow up as a Baptist? I'm guessing in the United States, because
yes, I grew up actually. I was born in Gainesville, Florida, quite a ways away from Colorado. Lived there until I was in high school, and then we moved just a little bit outside of Gainesville. So most of my growing up years were in Gainesville.
And so, as you're growing up, did you really embrace the Baptist faith, or how was it for you personally?
I'd say for me personally, it was just what we did. I never questioned it as a child. It wasn't until I became first an adolescent and then in my later teens and early 20s that I began to really question things and find what, of course, in my completely enlightened youth, I thought were vast deficiencies and shortcomings in the people of the church there and such as that. But, you know, I'm a little tongue-in-cheek, of course. A lot of that just has to do with being young and thinking that you know the way everything should be. But that's when I really began questioning, and things proceeded from there.
Now, in your college life, were you continued in your Christian faith, or what happened in college?
I think I continued in my Christian faith in the sense that I always felt at home with it, but I would say that once the questioning began, I pretty quickly jettisoned the relationship with the Baptist church. In college, of course, this was already in the late 60s and early 70s, and there was an awful lot of different things going on in the world, for those who remember. I became interested in all kind of facets of the religious and spiritual life, you know, Eastern teachings and all the kind of things that were very popular at that time. And I would say that certainly I went very far astray in the field from the Baptist tradition and from traditional Christianity in any sense of the word.
Now, along the way, where did you meet your wife? Was it in college? Or
I met my wife in high school, actually. Okay. So we were high school sweethearts, and we've been married for a very long time.
And was she on the same kind of spiritual path as you were?
She was raised Roman Catholic. I did go to Roman Catholic Church with her once or twice whenever we were in high school. In those days, it was still very traditional, and the Mass was in Latin, and the priests wore cassocks. It was in a small town at that point, High Springs, Florida. I think that once we grew up and began questioning, she went along with me in the questions and in the various experimentations and voyages into whatever kind of teachings we might have been introduced to and interested in at the time.
And what kind of spurred you on to looking into Orthodoxy? I mean, what were the catalysts that brought you to looking at the Orthodox faith?
Well, I think that, as I said, we went pretty far afield. I think I finally came to the point where I began to think that there were really no answers to the questions, and that the questions of life, so to speak, and so that the best thing to do would be to just simply stop asking the questions, and that would be the only way to find peace. And so I think I had almost even given up, but not quite. And I did, in the mid-70s, come across a group that perhaps some people have heard of called, in those days, the Holy Order of Mans. I was part of their community in San Francisco for a while. But at some point, we had moved to Santa Rosa. This was about 1982 at this point, jumping ahead, or I understand it's backwards, but ahead from those times. So we had read and done a lot of things with the teachings of the Holy Order of Mans, and kind of done a little investigation into ancient Christianity or various other avenues of thought. But I remember quite distinctly that one evening in my living room in Santa Rosa, this was probably about 1982, I was sitting in our living room next to the bookshelves. And for whatever reason, I picked up a book off the shelf. I'm not even sure how it got there, but it happened to be the little book, The Way of a Pilgrim. And I started reading the first few pages and was just enthralled with the storyline, first of all. And the more I read, the more fascinated I became. And then I even became, I think, a little incensed, in the sense that I felt I had been educated in what would be normal American society, and yet somehow here I was at that point in my early 30s and had never come across or been exposed to the Orthodox Church. And so that little book, The Way of a Pilgrim, I think introduced me to the interest. And then I simply looked in the phone book. And as it turned out, in Santa Rosa, our house was about 1 mile from an Orthodox Church in America parish and about 1 mile from a Rokor parish, Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. I called the numbers, and someone answered at the OCA parish. That was really how I became interested and made my first step toward Orthodoxy.
Now, for our listeners, what was the movement you were involved with?
The Holy Order of Mans.
Yeah, the Holy Order of Mans. If you could explain that just for people.
You know, I don't know how much I could explain it. There's been books written about it.
Okay.
And at this point, many of those persons had become Orthodox. But I could say that in those years, it was a very New Age kind of movement that drew a lot of information from various different teachings. Certainly there was a Christian overtone to it, but I think the Christianity, at least in those years, was much more along the lines of some idea of a cosmic Christ, and had stepped a little bit away from the kind of the real incarnation of God as a human being. At least that's the kind of take I had on it. Now, I'm not an authority on it, and like I said, that was in San Francisco, and we had actually moved to Santa Rosa, but we were certainly, I think that we benefited from it, and that it led us back to some traditional sources, but I certainly don't think I could say, I have no explanation for it. I don't know too much about it in terms of its complete inner workings.
No problem, just so we have a little background
on it. Sure.
And Father, when you came to the OCA parish, what was it like the first time entering the doors?
The first time I went, first I called. An elderly Russian lady answered, who of course also spoke English. She was very gentle and nice and welcoming, and said that they had an English-speaking priest who was from Canada. Told me when the next service was. It happened to be during Great Lent, which I didn't know much about. So she told me that the service was going to be one of the pre-sanctified liturgies Wednesday night at, I don't know, 6 o'clock or so. So I thought, okay, I'll just go see. Just like Nathaniel and St. Andrew come and see, I just thought I'll just go have a look. So I did. I went by myself. My wife and children stayed at home. The parish in those days was still in an old, small building that had been built by Russian immigrants in the earlier years. I walked in the back door. The liturgy had already started. I took one step into the door and one step to the left of the door. And then I just stood there and watched. And, of course, the pre-sanctified liturgy was unfolding before my eyes in semi-dark with only candlelight, and the Lord have mercies being chanted in the Lenten tone. I picked out somebody with my eyes who I thought looked like they knew what they were doing, and I began to do what they were doing so that I would not be conspicuous, which, of course, I was completely conspicuous. You know, anytime you walk into an Orthodox parish, usually people are known, and if you're not known, then everybody knows that. But that was my first experience, and it was like walking into a completely other world, and I was just, I'd say, hooked from the very first step into the church. Just the beauty and the enthrallment and the otherworldliness of my first experience was captivating for me.
Now, after you went, did you bring your wife and children along right away, or did you spend some time contemplating on the church?
My wife usually tells me I'm either all or nothing, you know? So I was ready right then. I did take them back. I don't remember how quickly, but there was no amount of contemplating needed. I was ready to go. And we did start attending there. The priest there in those years was Father Andrew Morby. He was very welcoming. And I would say that he introduced me to what I would call the true Christ. You know, there are a lot of false Christ being taught in the world. And I'll be always eternally grateful to Father Andrew, that first priest, for introducing me to what I would call the true Christ, a Christ of mercy and of love and of freedom. And it just, the only hesitation then was a period of time for us to learn and study to become catechumens. But for me, I was just ready to go.
Now, did your wife embrace the faith right along with you?
She embraced it with me. She was a little more, not hesitant, but I would say cautious, because we had through the years sought, I suppose I would say, the truth in so many different places and so many different avenues, so many different expressions, only to be kind of disappointed in the end with human devisings and deviations from whatever, and just complete disappointment. So I think she was a little more cautious than me. But that didn't stop her, and we did attend, and it was it was only a matter of time when we were baptized and received into the church.
Now, from kind of your description, it sounds like Orthodoxy was about the end of your spiritual journey.
Well, I'd say the end in terms of my seeking. I think you can end up being a seeker forever, which I've had a few catechumens here, which I've had to say, you know, you have to be careful. If you keep seeking, you can just look forever. It was into my seeking, but the beginning of having found. And, of course, that journey, it's been a long time since. Now I'm an old priest with various infirmities, and I certainly haven't finished anything.
Well, and I think what I mean by that is that it was the end of your spiritual journey in seeking. You know, so many people that I talk to that have become Orthodox, they've generally almost given up when they walk in the doors of an Orthodox church. They've exhausted all other routes and then found this gem hiding off to the side that no one had ever told them about.
I would say that was exactly the case. I felt I had exhausted all other avenues, and when I found the Orthodox Church, there was no question in my heart and mind, and it was certainly far more than my mind, that I had found exactly what I'd been looking for all along in all the places that I had been looking, and it was certainly the end of my seeking and of my journey. I'd found what I was looking for.
Now, what brought you, Father, to seek out the vocation of the priesthood?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I'm not sure I could answer that. I guess I felt an inner compulsion that wouldn't leave me alone. And so I loved serving in the altar of the parish. I loved serving with Father Andrew and then the priest who came after him. I was tonsured a reader on the 4th of July at Old Fort Ross Chapel up, you know, the first little Orthodox settlement out of Alaska in the lower 48. Then I was tonsured a subdeacon, and things just kept going, and I just felt that interest and compulsion and the desire to be in the altar and serve. So it would be hard to explain other than just that sense of, I think I need to do this.
Calling.
I suppose. I'm not too certain about the word calling, but I would say something wouldn't leave me alone, and so I went ahead and did it. And it wasn't that I didn't have trepidation about it, and once or twice even think, oh boy, you'd have to be crazy to do this, and almost change my mind. But finally, it was just something that pursued me.
Now, did you go to seminary?
I did. I studied in the late vocations program in San Francisco of the Diocese of the West, the Pacific Deanery, it was a two-year program with some very excellent teachers in those years. I don't know what goes on there now. Good things, I'm sure, but in those years I had some very gifted professors. I believe I took more than 2 years to complete the course, even though it was 2 years, because I was also working full-time at the time. But at the end of it, there was, at that time, a national examination given by the Orthodox Church in America for the diaconate program. I sat with that for that examination and passed it, and then got the word that I would be eligible for ordination to the diaconate. So I was ordained in the parish there as a deacon, and then after serving there as a deacon for a couple of years, I believe, I did leave and went to St. Tikhon Seminary.
And what was it like going to St. Tikhon's with the family and children? I'm not sure what age your children would have been at that point.
my children were still youngish. My daughter was a young teen, and my son was in maybe fifth grade or so. It was a pretty big movement, to be honest with you, to pick up your family and move all the way across the country and leave friends and ties and jobs and securities and a home. It was really a tremendous effort for us, but I think it was richly rewarded. We had a good experience at St. Tikhon's. We met a good spiritual father there. We had good professors. The liturgical life there was just full and beautiful in the monastery church, with services, full cycle of services on a daily basis. So by and large, it was very good, and the experience was only beneficial. I'd say the move was a pretty big effort and a pretty big struggle, but it worked out okay.
Big step of faith.
It was a big step of faith. It was.
And when were you ordained a priest, or how did that all come about?
I was ordained to the priesthood on the Feast of the Annunciation of the Most Holy Theotokos in 1991.
And were you ordained in a particular parish, or?
I was ordained actually at St. Tikhon's Monastery at the behest of Bishop Tikhon of the West, retired. Now he's retired, but he was the bishop then, and he arranged the ordination to take place there at St. Tikhon's. And then I had the experience of serving there at the monastery, which was very beneficial. So I served there until I finished. And at that point, I felt I wanted to come home to the Diocese of the West. You know, if you're from the West, I'm not sure where this is being broadcast.
All over the world.
All over the world, all right. If you're from the Western United States, then after a while that becomes home in a way that the East is not quite home, although it's very beautiful and has wonderful things about it. So we could not wait to get back west, and so we sought to come to find some place to come back into the Diocese of the West.
Well, and I guess I'll throw in here for our international listeners, America has many cultures, and the West is a definitely different culture than the East, and so it's almost like moving to a different country, even though it's within the same country, but there's definite geographical familiarities between East, West, North, South, and Southwest and Northwest.
Indeed, that's very true.
So you came back West, and where did you end up at?
Well, when it was time to leave, we contacted Bishop Tikhon. There was, of course, communication continuously, and he said, you can go wherever you would like, really, and start a mission, which we didn't think we wanted to do. But I also had friends who were priests already, and somehow or other, through connections, just kind of, I suppose, through connections, I heard that there was a small rural parish in Delta, Colorado, that although there was a priest there, he was going to be leaving, and they were going to be in need of a priest. And, you know, actually we thought it was a very fully developed parish, and we thought, well, that'll be much easier and better than a mission. You know, we'll be able to go there with our family, and we won't be alone, and et cetera, et cetera. So we came out to visit the little parish in Delta, Colorado. It was toward the end of winter. I can't remember exactly the, I think it was maybe in March. So we flew from Pennsylvania to Colorado. It was a very difficult journey with the snow. We barely made the last plane out of Denver that night and arrived in Grand Junction, still an hour away from Delta, by car, very late at night. Had a look around. It was, like I say, very, very desolate and cold, and there were no leaves on the trees. So it was pretty, pretty rough introduction. Of course, also high desert. But we realized that as we got a little more used to it, the kind of resplendent beauty of the area, and and we were even attracted by it. So in visiting, we were here for, I think, a weekend, and as it turned out, although it was completely unexpected, one of the parishioners, one of the elderly parishioners at that time, died while we were here. And also, as it turned out, the priest who was here got extremely ill that night and was literally not able to serve the funeral liturgy the next day, and called me in the middle of the night. Here I am, you know, a newly ordained priest, fresh from seminary, and he said, "I'm just too sick, you have to do this funeral liturgy." And I did do the funeral liturgy, and I suppose I would say that I took it as an indication from God that maybe this would be where we should serve after all, since he had asked me to serve when we first had shown up. So that was how we came to Delta, and we've been here ever since. It's been, I think, maybe about 18 years, a little bit more, perhaps, that we've been here.
Now, your parish here was started by some cradle Orthodox?
No, the parish was actually started, there were a few cradle Orthodox in the area, a few elderly Greek couples that had been here for a long time, and there are still a few around that have kept the faith, you know. The area had a few ranchers and sheep farmers and things like that. So there were a few scattered Orthodox, but no parish. In this part of Colorado, there is a Greek parish in Grand Junction, but as I said, we're about an hour away by car, a little bit further, the parish was actually started by an elderly couple who were Episcopal, but it also kind of been looking and read and come across Metropolitan Callistus Ware's books. In those days, it was still Timothy Ware, you know, the Orthodox Church, I believe, and the Orthodox Way. It's a companion volume, and they read and they thought, well, this is the true faith, just like similar to the way I had experienced. And they did a little investigation, and after being introduced to it, essentially just funded the building of the parish on their own. So when we came to Delta, we did find a kind of a working parish, in the sense that there was a building here, a temple, and even a rectory. But what was not here were very many people. It was in some sense more of a mission than if we had gone and started a mission somewhere else.
And so in 18 years, you've really done the work of a mission priest and sharing the faith.
Well, I think that in the 18 years that we've been here, God has blessed us tremendously. There are perhaps on a typical Sunday when the weather is not too foreboding, there might be 90 people or 95 people, an awful lot of children and families. Family life is pretty strong here. But I would say that all I have done during those years is essentially be here, serve the services, say the prayers, you know, just doing the things that any Orthodox priest or even any Orthodox Christian would do faithfully wherever they were, be in the church. You know, I remember that an elderly Russian person in Santa Rosa telling me at one point, a holy place will never be empty. A holy place will never be empty. And so when we came, I thought, well, okay, then all we have to do is just be here and serve and live the life of the church. Of course, liturgically, first and foremost, but then also, as St. Paul says in the scriptures, to try and become the fragrance of Christ, which means that we go out into the world and we try to love and we try and forgive and we try and teach the faith by being virtuous, not by our own, you know, merits or efforts so much as just the grace that God gives us. So that's what we've done. And little by little, people have come to the church. You know, every now and then, a family or one or two people will come to the church and Through the years, we've just added catechumen after catechumen after catechumen. And then, of course, lately we've also had a lot of children born.
There are plenty of children in the services. And what has brought people to the parish? I mean, how are they finding your parish? This is rural Colorado. It's not a big city. It's not a, you know, metropolitan area where... what is drawing people?
You know, I've asked myself that question through the years because I thought, well, if I could find out what that was, I would do just that. I walk around town in a cassock and a cross, so certainly people know me. I think for the first few years I was quite an oddity because, as you mentioned earlier, it's certainly Western Colorado, and I don't look like a cowboy. But I think that as the years have progressed, people have accepted me and recognized me. So I thought, well, maybe that's part of it. For a while, I even irrigated about 20 acres of hay field because, of course, we have to irrigate the hay here. And I would often do that in the cassock in the heat. And so people would drive by. They knew who I was. They saw me. They knew what was going on. I also, because it was a small rural town, was able to write articles for the newspaper, and they would actually publish them. And I thought, well, maybe it's that, you know, and various other things. But to be honest, the catechumens that have come, the people who have been interested in the faith, I don't think if you asked them, they would attribute it to any particular thing that I have done. They have just somehow sought home, the true faith, and for whatever reason, their journey would eventually bring them through the doors of the church. We've had a lot of converts from the Protestant denominations. I think some of it has to do with the fact that maybe some of them have lost some of their traditional grounding, their kind of mooring to what it means to be a Christian. But we've also had many Roman Catholics who have become Orthodox here, and at least a few from Mormon background. So I don't think there's any one thing that has been done or any one particular kind of person that comes. It's just people have responded to the fact that they had not been satisfied where they were in whatever way until they found the Orthodox faith.
So I think basically what you're saying is the Holy Spirit's been drawing people to your parish in his mysterious ways where we don't understand them, but he just does his work and calls those that are ready to come.
Well, probably since I'm the priest, I should have said that. But, but I think that's a very good way to express it, yes. The Holy Spirit blows where he wills, and, you know, we're so grateful that he's blown so many into St. Andrew's Parish.
And are most of your folks locally here from Delta, or do they travel from all over? Because I know, besides the Greek parish, you are the only parish west of the Rockies.
We are, until you go way west of the Rockies. We have a good little knit of people who live in Delta, but they travel from as far away as certainly an hour and a half away, and they do so faithfully. Through snow, that sometimes I would be more leery to drive in than them. Of course, I'm not, you know, my native roots are not from high country Colorado, so maybe they're a little more comfortable with it. But they come from pretty good distances, and from really from the little core group in Delta to an hour and a half away, and all interspersed between, you know, 20 minutes away, 30, 40 minutes away, and they come real faithfully.
And they find your parish through your website or the phone book, word of mouth? I mean, they're finding Orthodoxy, but is it?
Well, through a website in recent years, perhaps. Of course, that was... we do have a website, but it's only been a few years that it's been there. We are in the phone book locally. We have... we're listed in the local newspapers. I think probably a lot of it initially was in the earlier years through just the newspapers and the phone book, and perhaps word of mouth.
And you guys have grown so much that you've acquired some new property.
We have. We have recently, about a year ago, 2 years ago maybe, just before things began to get a little more difficult economically, we purchased a 10-acre piece of property. We own it in full. It's in a very good location. There are certainly times when we feel we've outgrown our present facility, when the church itself can be very full and there's not quite enough seats to go around in the church hall for a meal. But we still do okay. But we understood that we needed to have the ability to grow and expand and probably build a new temple at some point and a new facility. So we purchased that 10-acre piece of ground, and it's sitting there, and right now it's just covered with the remnants of an old alfalfa field and a lot of snow. But it's sitting there, and of course it doesn't cost us anything. We maintain it, and we're kind of poised and ready to take the next step whenever it becomes prudent to do so.
And so is there an excitement in your parish about the...
I think there is an excitement. Even though it's been a couple of years, let me just put it this way, that we are required by the state or the federal government, I forget which one or both, to have at least one service there on the property every year to maintain our tax-exempt status. So I was away earlier this year. We had the service on the feast of the prophet Daniel, which we had an evening service there on, so this would be December 16th. The feast is the 17th, and we were there the evening before. It's completely outside. We were standing in an open alfalfa field. It was extraordinarily cold. It was covered with snow. New snow had fallen. And I thought, well, I'll go and I'll do the service because I knew we had to. And I was pretty sure that I knew my wife would be there and perhaps another person. But I did not expect many people to be there. And I was quite surprised when there was a good little group of people who turned out for that feast on the new property exterior, exposed to the elements. And this was as the sun was going down and it became quite cold. So I think that shows not only excitement, but it shows faithfulness and the willingness to even endure a little adversity or hardship on behalf of the love of God.
Great. Now, Father, as a convert to the Orthodox faith, what did you find has changed most in your life? I think this is probably the most important question of the interview.
What has changed most in my life?
Since you've become Orthodox, I mean, how has your life changed? What is...
Well, I think that the most important thing that has changed in my life is that I'm at peace with God, in the sense that I know Him, and I think I would have to just leave it and say that the most essential thing is that I think it's Saint Seraphim of Sarov that says, "Above all, seek peace. Above all, seek peace." And I think that the Orthodox faith has given me that peace, that calmness of the presence of Christ in my life, and I don't mean certainly it includes a psychological and an emotional response, all of those things, but I'm really speaking of something far deeper than that, where we receive the Lord in the Eucharist, we receive His body and blood, we have an intimate knowledge of God, and I mean a heartfelt knowledge, something that's deep, and the response of that is a peace that's there that um, that overcomes all the disruptions and all of the difficulties that that are just present in life, no matter what. So the peace of Christ, I guess I would say.
Great. Now, Father, if people want to get, they're listening and they're in the Western Colorado region and want to find your parish, how can they do so?
Well, we're in Delta, Colorado. We're right, not too far off of Main Street. It's a very small town. They can certainly look on our website, www.standrewsdelta.org. They can call us on the telephone, area code 970-874-5225. They can write me a letter. I always respond to letters if I get them. St. Andrew's Orthodox Church, 298 Burt Street, B-E-R-T, Delta, Colorado, 81416. Or they can just show up at the door, like I originally did, and step through and have a look. And they'll find a very warm and welcoming group of people. And if they'll give it a little chance, I think they'll find, if they're looking, what they've been looking for.
Great. Well, I want to thank you today, Father, for joining me on Journeys to Orthodoxy. And would you give us a blessing?
I'll ask God's blessing upon the work that you do and upon all those who are listening.
Thank you for listening to Journeys to Orthodoxy, a production of the Icon New Media Network, where Orthodox Christianity is the future of American spirituality. Would you like to share your journey with us? Please do so by contacting us at journeys@iconnewmedianetwork.com. Journeys to Orthodoxy can be heard on the Orthodox Christian Network at www.myocn.net.